Arvid.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I will share with you something about giants and powers and mostly these giants will not have that we follow Jesus and God. We read Genesis 6, verse 1 to 4. When man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were attractive, and they took as their wives any of they choose. And then the Lord said, my spirit shall not be, shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in Zeus' days and also afterwards. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, men of a good name, of a great name. It are angels who are falling down. And Judas 6 says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their power dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So these are angels in darkness, in kept in prisons. Also in 2 Peter 2 verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them out into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. It are angels who are sexual things with women. In the report of the people who went to the land for the new land, Canaan. And they saw also this giants. Two people can see with the same eyes to people and say and see different things. Just we read in Numeri 13. We can also see with different eyes to the world in this time. And sometimes some people will be depressed and some people will have hope. We are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. It is how you look, and how you look is when you look at the natural things, then you see the natural things. We read Numbers 13. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and it's free. And this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we have descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites, Adamelkites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome." Then the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they were stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel in a bad report of the land, and they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land of divorce and its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are great." And where we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and they came from the Nephilim, and we seemed ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. And all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept at night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it be not better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." They are at the border of the promised country, and they want to go back to Egypt. They choose for Egypt. Why? Because they have no faith. No faith. They looked with different eyes, and they were afraid for giants. And then 40 years further, the whole generation died in the wilderness, and also the children must go. They are still there. And then they are standing again before the promised country. Deuteronomy 3. Moses is old, 120 years. Then we turned. There were 120 priests. And on the 20 days for the Feast of Weeks, Moses tells the people what is going to happen. To go into the land, he will give power. Deuteronomy 3. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, "Do not fear him, for I have given him and all his people in his land into your hand." So the Lord our God gave into our hand Og, also the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we struck him down until he had no survivor left, and we took all his cities at that time, 60 cities, the whole region of Argob, the king of Og in Bashan, and all these were cities fortified with high walls, gates and bars, besides very many unwalled villages. And we devoted them to destruction, as we did to Sihon. So we took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of the Arnon to the Mount Hermon. All the cities and of the tableland and all Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Silacha, Edrei, cities of the kingdom, and of Och in Bashan. When we took possession of this land at that time, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites the territory beginning by Aroer. The rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Och, all the region of Gagob, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. And I commanded Joshua at that time, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. All the kings were overtaken. Yeah, the kings were great. Och was great. And they were not afraid for him. Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done. So will the Lord do all to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing. Do not fear. That says the Lord. You have seen everything. What we did with all these kings. Do not fear. This is a lesson for us. Giants. The group that stayed and were left before the border, they went into the country. The country that was for them. Moses, he will die. Moses dies, there is a new phase, and you will go into the Jordan and to the cities in the country. Before Joshua go into the country, Moses must go to God. The old life will go, and there will be the old life of Egypt will go, and you must come free from that old life, and you must come to a new life, free from giants. And when they came in the land, they came into the land and they may share with the fruit there. And they came in Jericho. Joshua 11, there was none of the Anakim left in the land of the people of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod did some remain from these giants. There were only a few left in Gaza, in Gath, and Ashdod from the giants. some were left. But the whole land was for Israel. God has promised it to Israel. And also in our lives we have to deal with giants. 1 Samuel 17:4-7. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, one of these giants, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet and of bronze in his on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He was a great man. You can hear it. This Goliath. And for 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. He was 2 meters and 90 centimeters high, nearly 3 meters. Wow! And his whole weapons were very heavy. He was a giant. And so he came forward every morning, every evening to the Israelites. He tried God, the God of Israel, and the Israelites were feared. And so one man was enough for the whole army to defeat the whole army of Israel. How can you break through? And the answer is the word of God. And the answer was a small man, David. Who was he? And in the meantime, came the Philistine forward every day, 40 days. And the Philistines were feared. Every day, every morning, they feared and they were tired. And they were lamed from fear. And what you think to do, you cannot do it anymore. So the whole army of Israel were standing there and could not do anything. They were uncertain and they had no belief and faith anymore. And David, who came there? He came to bring food. And he was sent by his father, and he was there under his authority. He was not afraid, and people was said to Saul the king, "There is David here, and he is not afraid." He looked with other eyes to this giant. He saw the God of Israel, the Lion of Judah. He was he used to fight with lions and wolves. He did not. He wanted not that any animals would take one of these sheep. And David came also there. And he could not took the arms from Saul. He was too weak to bear that. He had the arms of the Lord, and they are not heavy. How do you look at these things? And yes, David takes stones, and he go in a godly way to this giant. In the name of the Lord. He knows the Lord Sabaoth. It means he is a Lord from many, many, many people. From armies and armies of people. The struggle is from the Lord, says David. It is the struggle of the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly forward to the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hands in his back and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. No sword, but he had a stone from God. He feared not. And then, as soon as Peter returned from the striking down to the Philistine, after he had him struck down with the sword of the Philistine itself. As soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." He came from Bethlehem. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So David came to Saul, and in the heart of Jonathan, the son of Saul, started something. As we struggle in the name of the Lord, then the heart of the Son of the Lord will open for us. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children shared in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook in the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear and death of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That is enormous. Jesus will free everybody who are through fear of death subject of lifelong slavery. you need not to be feared by death. Jesus will free you. Fear for the death is the greatest fear a man can have. And Jesus struck that fear and destroyed the might of the death. Johannes 11, verse 6, 26 says, "And everyone who lives and believes in me, says Jesus, shall never die. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die, says Jesus." Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Where you are feared, you are lamed. You cannot do anything. The Bible says that you need not to fear people. It will lame you. It will set you in prison. And there is also a fear that you may not be what you want to be, and you will be passive. Passivity will come over you, and you are afraid to do things. While God wants that you can move in His Word, move in His Spirit, move in power. Fear is dangerous. Or you do nothing, or you will be a perfectionist. You will be a slave from the one or the other. You will be in control, and you will be lamed. You are not free. Fear to be a witness. That people will not see you. You can be feared for sickness. It can open a door for everything and not fear God. But that is our goal, to fear God, to love Him, have respect for Him, to know who He is. Jesus says, at the end, in the end of the time, many, many people shall be feared. Fear for death. And we see in this world this fear for everything. Fear from climate, fear for money, for economy, for a bad economy. Fear that we have no work, fear for war, etc., etc. All kind of fear. And Jesus says, will there be faith when I come back? Will there be faith in me? Faith is see what is not seen, what is unseen. You see all things around you, but do you see Jesus? Have you faith in Him? Then you can win the giants in your life. Maybe you are in the might of a giant as Goliath. Then I will name the name of Jesus before you, who overwon the Satan, and that you can go home with the head of Goliath as a souvenir. And that you go to the Lord, "I give my life to you, to King Jesus, and will you help me not to fear anymore in my life?" That is the beginning of all wisdom. Fear God. and we have a relation with the Lord Jesus, then fear will go away. It will fade away and never come back. And we can bless the people, love them in the name of Him. And when we fail, we can go to Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness, for strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father, that you will have an outcome for our fear. Your love will fade away all the fear in our life. We thank you, Lord, for that. We will not do it in our own power, but we will trust in the name of Jesus and in His power. And then we will be winners, be victory over the fears. In the name of Jesus, pray we. Amen. When there are people who struggle with all these fears, then there are people who will talk with you and pray with you. Go not home with your fears, but be freed from them.